This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, what's happening? Hour 3, Tiki and Tierney company from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. What's good? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here on this Football Friday. But we have deviated a little bit from the football stuff. Of course, paid homage to the great Hank Aaron, who passed away today at the age of 86. And you're going to want to catch that tribute. It was meaningful to be able to do that. A lot of times, you do segments, and yeah, you do viscerally, and you love it, sports. But not every day you get to do a segment where it really truly hits your heart. And that's how much respect we have for Hank and just his impact and imprint on the sporting world, not just baseball. So I think if you're a baseball fan or just a fan of humanitarianism, you're going to want to check this out. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We'll get to football after this, finish up with all football. But, Teak, they were at it again last night. The boys just starting trouble on TNT. Oh, they like to stir that pot. All right, let's play it for you. Then we can obviously react. Let me give you a little context here because this might be important for some, or is important for some. They had had a thorough, what had happened was, they had a thorough discussion before Donovan Mitchell slapped on the headsets, all right, after a win, played very well, 36 points, they won by double figures against the Pelicans, and they were talking extensively about the Utah Jazz and about Mitchell, and so there was some context there prior to Donovan Mitchell getting on the headset, and after what you'll hear, which was a very terse exchange, Kenny Smith, after this clip, which we don't have, which we're not going to play, Kenny then circled back to Donovan Mitchell and kind of completed the circle for context. So just so everybody knows what went down. I was watching this live, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But here's Shaq going directly right to Donovan Mitchell.
Part of this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
All right. That's it.
Okay, cool.
I've been hearing that since my rookie year. I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say.
Yes,
love
sir.
Your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
You don't have what it takes to get to the next level. Let me say this. I'm saying it with a smile, but trust me, I mean it. Who the hell does Shaquille O'Neal think he is to say that?
He's a multiple world champion and a Hall of Famer and an icon and a superstar.
That's not the answer I'm looking for. I'm going to ask you again. Who does Shaquille O'Neal think he is to say that?
He is an
He's
entertainer.
He's talking to a guy.
He's an entertainer on
who's
TNT.
Who's 24 years old.
He's
who just turned 24.
I agree. I don't disagree with that, BT.
I mean, at least, how about a little foreplay? Can you soften me up a little bit before you go for the throat?
They don't do that. You know that.
Weak, man. Shaq's got to be better than that.
They just say what they want to say and see if you're going to react. Look, I think Shaq thinks Donovan Mitchell is soft, and he wanted to see him fight him and come after him, and he didn't.
What is he, a sensei all of a sudden?
I have no idea.
I got to get the Cobra Kai reference in. You know, I mean, obviously that's top of mind.
But he thinks he is. Shaq thinks he is. I don't know if Shaq has ever met him or knows him personally. Who knows?
I hope he knows, and that's even worse. If you don't know somebody and you say like that.
Clearly he doesn't care what the reaction was going to be. True. But you could tell.
True.
You know, he wanted Donovan Mitchell to, like, I don't know. Say like
what? Shaq, man, you full of it, man. Now watch what I'm going to do tomorrow night. What is he going to say?
I don't know.
I mean, whatever he says in that moment is not going to change the fact that he was utterly disrespected.
Something more than, all right.
Well, that just shows you that he's classy, and he's disgusted by the line of questioning.
To me, it was funny.
It's entertaining. It's always funny what those guys do.
It's manufactured entertainment. Because they're funny. It's manufactured entertainment. I mean, look, we got into a Slack conversation really all about the merits of Donovan Mitchell. But to me, it's less about Donovan Mitchell. It's just they like to create, I don't know, interesting moments. Now, whether that moment is uncomfortable, like that moment was, or terse, or whatever you want to call it, that's what they do. And they don't have to care. These guys made tons of money while they're playing. They're making tons of money putting on one of the best TV shows.
My favorite.
I agree. One of the best TV shows on TV.
Doesn't mean they're always right.
Doesn't matter if scripted show, live, whatever. This is one of the best shows on TV, those guys.
I agree.
Even if you don't necessarily love basketball,
you can watch it.
You're going to be somewhat entertained.
You're going to laugh. It's like three crazy uncles cracking it up with the white guy in the middle.
And they're all delivering. Their deliveries are all different.
Yep,
you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just they're fun, and I think it was intentional. That's my point. I think Shaq did that intentionally.
Just
to create a moment and see what the reaction would be. He didn't care what the reaction was. I think he just wanted to see a reaction, and he didn't get it. So he's like, "All right, okay."
And he just moved on.
Yeah, whatever.
Part of what
you
makes
don't want
that...
to play ball.
then we don't want you anymore. I hear you. He was looking for more. He was looking for a volley back, a little bit more antagonistic, and then maybe it would have. I get it. Listen, there's an element. We do TV every day, so I mean, when I go to commercial break, am I speaking in as animated fashion to my wife? We just ordered pizza. Do you think I was like, "Oh, Jen, I need the chicken cutlet. I need the chicken cutlet parmesan tonight. I don't want the shrimp parmesan. I had that last Friday. You got to, and I want extra cheese this time. Enough with the disrespect for day, which is our pizza place." No, I speak like a human. So I get it.
You're like, "Jen, I don't think that your pizza ordering game is going to get you to the next level. I'm sorry."
Exactly.
You got something to say to that, hon?
And by the way,
she says, "You're sleeping in that office right there. Have fun."
Yeah, I know. As a 15-second aside, we have a great place in town. It is phenomenal. I live in a town with really deep Italian roots. It's the food's phenomenal.
That's right.
But for the last
best pizzas in New Jersey, by the way.
Well, I'm going to say it's actually in Brooklyn, but it's not really the case anymore. I don't really disagree with that anymore. But so we called this place for basically a year and a half, 2 years since we lived here. Then they stopped picking up the phone. Like for the last six, we do it every Friday. It's the only time we order, unless we get sick.
I know. You tell us every Friday.
And like the last five or six Fridays, we've gotten it from a different place. And I like Forte's, which is the place that we just ordered from. And Jen's like, "They never pick up their phone." I called them today. I'm like, let me take control. They picked up right away.
Hey, Jen, your pizza ordering game is
subpar. Correct.
I don't think you have what it takes to make it to the next level, honey. Sorry.
Correct. Not only will Daddy pay for the pizza, but Daddy will now call for the pizza. All right. Let me get back to Shaq for a second. Listen, you know that I always side with, old school motivational tactics. You know, if you want to hit a guy and you have a bench clearing brawl, don't hit him in the neck. I don't care about that. I always side with more aggressive stuff, if that's even the right framing, aggressive whatever.
Yeah, coaching, motivation.
Motivation. Yep. But, Teague, to me, this really misses the mark badly because, number one, it's incredibly confrontational, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's demeaning. Donovan, whatever Shaq's purpose is, that's secondary to the fact that, or that's independent of the fact that it was just flat out rude, dude. And Donovan Mitchell, he doesn't have any requirement to put on these headsets and get abused by these guys. He does it out of the kindness of his heart. He, you know, he's figured, I got respect for these OGs, couple champions on the set, great show. All right, I'll rap with these dudes. He puts on the headset. He gets ripped apart. Yeah, you're not good enough to get to the next level. You don't have what it takes. After he dropped 36 points, right, after they won by double figures, after he dropped 57, 51, and 44 points in the playoffs last year against a team, Denver, that's better than Utah. And you're right. This is not a referendum necessarily on Donovan Mitchell's career. He's 24 years old. We don't need him. Whatever. There's plenty of time for growth. He's not a top 10 player. Probably not a 15 player. Probably, to me, he's certainly inside of 20.
Yeah.
I'd say like 14 to 18, whatever. Take it or leave it. I don't care. That's what I think. But my issue is just the blatant disrespect. I don't care if you're the wizard.
But that's what
the,
isn't that what they do?
Genie,
isn't that what they do? Don't respect. They do that? They call people out all the time. Well, they'll laud you as well if you're having one of those days. But Shaq has a
dropped 36.
But Shaq has a segment, Shaqed in a Fool, where he blatantly makes fun of people to the point where who was it?
It's the big man, JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
Like they created like real beef.
A little bit.
I thought that was going to get like violent if they ever saw each other in person. So
yeah, they were abusing him.
I think it's just Shaq. It's what he does, and I don't know if it's meant to be harmful or disrespectful. It's just it
is. But it was disrespectful. It doesn't matter. That's my point. It doesn't matter what the intent was. It was disrespectful.
Was it?
Look, play this again.
He was just expressing an opinion.
Okay, I got you. D-Cell, play it again and then just stop it. Now, just imagine. All right, you know what? I think Tiki had a good game. We're getting ready to let's send it down to the field. We got Tiki Barber. The Giants just handled business. They beat the Redskins by a couple of touchdowns. Tiki, you there? What's going on, Tiki? Play it. Go ahead, Tiki.
Father, this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear
Stop.
It.
Stop. Stop. That's the first question. It's really a statement.
It is a statement.
Come on,
respond.
Man.
Don't even ask a question. Just respond.
And by the which is against Journalism 101, but these guys aren't journalists. They don't need to be.
They're entertainers.
They're entertainers, and they're great, and I love the show, and I
and
love
And were
Shaq.
You not entertained?
He's wrong.
Were you not entertained?
I was entertained, but that doesn't mean that he's right. He's wrong, man.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. Like, I look at – you bring up Shaq to the full segment. Now, that's hysterical. I've watched it on loop many times. They have it on NBA TV. They do the end-of-the-year award, Shaq to the full. They do it on with Kenny and Charles, obviously. It's a great bit. But when they're doing Shaq to the full – like, they're doing, like, Dwight Howard, who's every game is now a foot back further from the foul line, or JaVale McGee, who tries, like, a windmill reverse no-look pass, or a three-pointer from the corner that misses the side and hits the side of the backboard. The guy just dropped 36 points. They won the game, and he's, I'll chop it up with my boys. What's
but
good?
This is what he
I'm
believes.
I'm not good enough.
This
what?
Is what he believes. What? He believes that this is going, this is his plight. Donovan Mitchell, as good as he is, and as
24,
as amazing as the yeah. So, and he's been in the league for 4 years now.
All right.
And so, is he getting any better? You know, is he
20 players in a game?
Is he taking steps towards being a champion? Of course, he could be a top 20 player, but I think what Shaq said was to take it to the next level. The next level is getting to a conference championship and potentially winning a championship.
All right.
The question is he that guy? I think Shaq's right. Right, actually. I think he needs another superstar in order to be a champion.
Okay, right? Hold on. I don't disagree. I, a matter of fact, completely concur.
Mm-hmm.
Shaquille O'Neal had Penny Hardaway. They didn't win, but they almost did. They got there. Penny Hardaway, right? Think about his three best players he played with.
Yep.
Penny, all-timer if he doesn't get hurt.
Yep.
And borderline all-timer because he was passing and doing things that 6'8 guys didn't really do outside of Magic. Penny, Kobe, and a young Dwayne Wade, okay? Who's Donovan Mitchell have? Rudy Gobert, who's a great defensive player.
Who has a better PER than he does.
Okay, can't score. He's got a PER because every shot is at the rim.
I know.
Don't give me PER. Don't waste my time with PER. All right, so Ingles, who's, you know, a good player, good passer. You know, they're a good team, well coached.
Also has a better PER.
I understand that because he stays within his limitations.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of them. And they're a well coached team, but I like Utah. Where's his Kawhi Leonard? Where's his Anthony Davis? Where's his LeBron?
Doesn't exist.
And he hasn't had one since day one. So this is where Shaq is partially wrong. yes, Donovan needs to expand his game a little bit. I'll grant you that. I'll give you that. But he can expand and become Oscar Robertson. He ain't winning nothing if he doesn't get a superstar. And here's the other thing that we should actually praise him for. Unlike all these other punks who run to align themselves with superstars because they're scared they'll be championship-less and their legacy, oh, they're going to get crushed on the radio. Let me go to Golden State. Let me go play with Kyrie. Let me go play with LeBron. And we know who we're talking about. This guy's got the stones to stay in Utah, take the money, and try to win without going to join another team. I've got respect for that. Instead of dissing the guy on national TV, give him props.
All right, D-Cell, clip that one. We'll replay this. We'll replay this in 4 years when Donald Mitchell says, I've had enough, Jazz. We're just not going to get it done. We're just not good enough. I've given it everything I've got. I can.
Hey.
Get me with whoever.
It might happen, but
you know what? Of course it's going to happen. It always happens.
You don't know who they'll – you never know. I mean, he's playing with Mike Connolly. Santa's trying to – oh, Mike Conley's 32, ruptured his Achilles. Would you stop? Mm-hmm. Would you look at the limited cast? You can make the point. And if you want to challenge me on Twitter, hit me. I'll actually hit you back. Find a team. I challenge you to find a team. D-Cell, you know the NBA, I think. Weigh in if you want. Find a team that's positioned, you know, as a viable championship contender. We know all those teams are the Lakers, the Clippers, the Mavericks when they get their act together, the Denver Nuggets, the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets. There's probably 7-8 teams that fall into that umbrella. Find me a team, and the Utah Jazz will throw there as well. Mm-hmm. Find me a team that has a worse starting five than the Utah Jazz that are in that group on that the Sixers on that short list of teams with somewhat legitimate championship aspirations. It's the worst starting five on that list.
So isn't he actually saying, Shaq, that you are not an elite talent, that you are very good, you're just not elite?
Well,
you're
if he's saying that, then the Shaq is completely wrong.
But he's not. Donovan Mitchell's not that guy. I'm just telling you.
Zeke, is he a top 20 player?
Of course he is. Okay. But is he a LeBron level player?
Let me ask is he a nobody's LeBron.
Is he a Bradley Beal level player? Is he a
What the hell's Bradley Beal won?
What has Bradley Beal done? Hold on.
Done nothing.
Hold on. Time out. Bill is leading the league in scoring.
And
he wins by a lot.
And he's nowhere near winning anything.
Talk about a bad team. His team is garbage.
Okay, then elevate it.
It's been garbage for years. He can only elevate as much as he can.
Teak, if Bradley Beal's on the Utah Jazz, are they discernibly better than the Utah Jazz are right now? And you take Donovan Mitchell off? The answer's no.
Probably not.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you granting me that.
Probably not.
Thank you.
But my point is, Shaq is just saying, you're not Kawhi, you're not Paul George, you're not AD. You're not Dwayne Wade.
You're not Chris Paul.
You're not any of these guys.
Frame it a little more respectfully.
Yeah, He doesn't have to. He's Shaq.
So he's got a license.
Yes.
To be an ass?
Yes.
Okay. If that's your answer,
because Chuck does it every
day. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Chuck does it every day. And you know I'm right.
Yeah, but Chuck does it. It's different.
No, it's
Chuck,
the same.
Chuck comes at you, and there's a humorous element to it. Shaq's delivery felt and sounded mean.
But I think Shaq was being humorous. He just doesn't know how to be humorous.
See, I think Shaq is hysterical, just not there. And I love the guy. I really, you know, I love Shaquille O'Neal. Love him. But for a guy who was overweight, could hit a free throw.
No, it's not about Shaq. It's about Shaq being an entertainer, not about Shaq being a player.
No, but the essence of the conversation is the level of Donovan Mitchell's talent or ceiling. Mm-hmm. So there is an element of basketball.
Okay, so what is his ceiling? What is his ceiling?
I don't know. He's got to get a superstar next to him.
Yeah, I don't know. But didn't that tell you his ceiling?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. If he needs a superstar next to him.
What did Anthony Davis do without anybody? He did nothing. He was a championship with LeBron.
He was still an elite player. And you knew it. He was an elite player.
Okay. Who was always hurt and did not elevate the franchise. At least the Jazz are a mid-seed every season.
That's a good point.
Because of Mitchell.
That's a good point.
Davis was barely in the playoffs. He did have the defensive player of the year.
I'm just saying.
Stop. You get me worked up over this. And you know that I'm right deep down. That was just flagging. I was like, that was rude of Shaq. That was rude. It was rude. All right, we got a break, man.
How rude.
All right. Dude, he should have said, I wish Donovan Mitchell would have said, hey, you know, listen, Shaq, I respect your opinion, but you know what? How many rings would you have if it wasn't for D-Wade or Kobe? You know, how come you couldn't hit a free throw, Shaq?
That would have been, I wish. That would have been the witty answer.
I wish. He's too classy for that. He really was a classy young man right there. He absorbed it, took it on the chin, didn't need to. That's why the rest of the NBA got his back today. And I'm always going to side with the OGs. But when the OGs start sounding a little twisted, I'm going to stick up for the young kids. And that was wrong. It was wrong. All right, we'll get back to football. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You guys, based on some early responses on social media, the Shaq segment with Mitchell moved you. So keep them coming in, whether you agree or disagree with my take or Tiki's take. Get them in on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, directly at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, so we had Don McNabb on the show yesterday, and D-Nabb brought up something pretty interesting, and it's really never been framed this way because of only the one Super Bowl. We grade thing, I put quotes around only. It's an incredible achievement, but only. And, you know, we're such a, I think on some level we've become such a such shallow evaluators. We've really lost the contextualization of greatness. You know, how many Super Bowl rings do you have as a quarterback or a head coach? So Andy Reid's kind of got, at least there's a dilution to how he's perceived. Yeah. But that, right? Would you agree with that?
I mean, with coaches, because you influence the entire team, wins matter a lot, and more importantly, winning percentage.
Yep.
But it's never referenced. Like, it's never referenced until it's all said and done. So it's all said and done. It's like, oh, he had a, whatever, 72% win percentage, but you never talk about it in real time.
Never.
Right? It's always, well, did he win any Super Bowls yet? And it's been unfair to Andy Reid because his winning percentage, especially once he went to Kansas City, I mean, hell, even in Philadelphia, it was amazing. But it's been unreal since he's gone to Kansas City. And now you throw in the championship and the fact that, you know, he's led this team to three straight AFC championship games and the stat that came out over last weekend that he's also the only other coach to lead another team to three state championship games. And that was in the NFC with the Eagles. It just makes you realize, see, this guy is he was always and has always been an elite and amazing head coach. It just took that championship for us to realize, or at least not realize, because I think we knew it, but for us to talk about him as one of the best ever.
Teague, when he took over the Eagles in 99, that's when I was in Allentown. And the only reason I even reference that is because the Eagles, their training facility was at Lehigh University.
That's right.
Which is right near my old radio station a million years ago. And, you know, nobody really knew much about Andy Reid. You knew what tree he was from, and he knew offensively, well, at least conceptually, what he thought, and that he was highly regarded there. But it's easy to forget that Eagles team, and you played against those guys, they were bad for a couple of years. I remember some of their receivers, like, watching them, and I had to watch them because I was in the local market. It was painful, man.
That's right.
Doug Peterson was the quarterback.
I know.
Before they gave the reins to Donovan McNabb. They were terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of those guys' names, but they were. What was the guy that was married to the playmate? Because he was on that team.
Talking about the quarterback?
No, the wide receiver. Basket? No, Hank Basket. I can't remember who it was.
That was after that.
Yeah, but you're right. They had some bad teams in those eras. But here's the thing. He elevated them relatively quickly, and they started drafting well. And let's not forget that Andy Reid, for the most part, had personnel decision control, even if not in title.
Yeah.
That was a big part of his title there. And I got to tell you, for the longest time, because of how he looked and how he carried himself, I was always like, this guy can't be fun to play for. Like, he's got to be just a pain in the butt head coach. And then once I made, and it was a while, once I got in, you know, and started making Pro Bowls at the end of my career, he was one of those championship games he didn't win. Mm-hmm. So we all, you know, back then, and I don't know if they still do it this way. Maybe they still do. The team from the NFC that lost the conference championship, that staff coached the Pro Bowl, because remember the Pro Bowl was between, you know, the championship game and the Super Bowl. And so you would see I met Andy Reid for the first time because he was my coach on the Pro Bowl team, and I was like, dude, this is the awesomest dude in the world to play for.
You could tell, right? Really?
Just because,
like, right away,
just
had
how
a good...
how he taught and how he talked to you and how he carried himself. But you don't see that, right? His press conferences are always, you know, no, I'm just hearing, you know, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he went to practice and yeah, he should be all right. Yeah, like he's never, doesn't show a personality, but
he
has a great personality, but you don't know it unless you're, you know, on his, one of his teams, and so it informed you about how. Why guys play so well, you know, hard for him, because he's a great teacher and then he's a great dude as well.
I remember seeing, and we're going to play this cut from D-Nan, but I remember seeing, I guess it was like a video with a superimposed Andy Reid or actually superimposed Kool-Aid. Remember, you know, the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember with that? This was a while ago when he first went to Kansas City and like Andy Reid bust through a wall, but it's really the Kool-Aid man, but it's really the Chiefs locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came and he was dancing. He, you know, you're right. The press conferences seem to be a little different. Than he is when he's actually around the guys doing his thing. But this is what McNabb said on our show yesterday, and it really forces you to open up and expand the purview in terms of how you view what Andy Reid's done so far. Here's Donovan McNabb.
You look at the combination that we had with his first head coaching job in Philadelphia. We were one of the top three winningest organizations for over a decade. And then he leaves and he built a new culture in Kansas City. But to do that with a young quarterback, go three straight AFC championships and a Super Bowl win, he has to go down as one of the top three head coaches when he finishes with Patrick. Top three or two head coaches that ever coach in the NFL.
You know, and by the way, after that, you know, rough. By the way, was James Thrash one of those receivers?
Yeah, he was. Right? He definitely was.
Thrash?
No doubt about
he
it.
He was on that team, right?
No doubt. Yes, he absolutely was.
Okay. His guy, after a 5-11 first year, then it's Andy Reid. 11-5, 11-5, 12-4, 12-4, 13-3. All right, a little downtick, 6-10, boom, right back up to 10 wins, and then a couple of more, 11 wins, 10 wins, and then, of course, he goes to the Chiefs, and it's 11-11,
listen
12,
all those
10,
double.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Listen to all those double-digit win seasons.
Let me make it easier for everybody. He's coached 22 years, all right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the 22 years – he has not won double figures.
That's crazy.
Incredible.
That is insane.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there with the Mike Tomlin stat about never having a losing season. Now, Tomlin's only, 12 years or 14 years, something like that.
Sounds about right.
Either way. 13. Either way, I mean, you have to respect that. It's hard to win. It's hard to have winning seasons consistently in the NFL. To have, you know, 16 double-digit win seasons in the NFL? That's saying a lot.
And by the way, you talk about Tomlin. This is not to take away anything that Tomlin's done. He's terrific in his own right, for sure. Super Bowl champ. But I'd like to see Tomlin do that with another team.
Yeah.
To go to, like Andy Reid did, Donovan McNabb's point.
Yeah, change a culture. Because, I mean, we all remember how those – who was it immediately before? Todd Haley?
Before Kansas City?
Before Andy Reid in Kansas City. Wasn't it Todd Haley?
I mean, you had Herm. Then you had – was it Herm Haley?
Yeah,
or
it was
am I
Herm.
Missing somebody?
There might have been someone in the middle there.
Herm was before Haley.
Yeah.
I think Haley may have been literally the year before Andy.
Yeah. But
I think so.
But we
if
remember
not, there was a 1 year gap.
But we
not
remember
much.
That failure of Todd Haley.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're not ready to be. I don't even know where he is anymore.
Well, he's definitely not a head coach. I can tell you that.
That's true. But Andy Reid turned it around quick.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this. I respect where McNabb's coming from. It's a really interesting thing to debate. Certainly, depending upon what Andy does moving forward, the ability to continue to elevate his standing in the game is there. But if we all agree that it's Belichick, Lombardi 1-2, and if you want to flip that, if you're an old-timer out of respect, that's cool. But those two guys, right?
Yeah.
Parcells, who also won in a lot of different places and changed ugly, bad cultures everywhere he went.
Yeah, Parcells is 3 for me still right now.
I mean, Parcells is in front of Andy Reid.
Yeah, it's not even close
now. No, I agree.
But what Donovan was saying is if – let's say the Chiefs win a Super Bowl this year, and then, dude, he's challenging Parcells, and then he wins another one in the next 5 years because Pat Mahomes is still going to be there. Then you start putting him into that solidly number 3.
Well, I'm going to still disagree to an extent, and this is not to you know,
3 championships.
Hold on, Tom Landry? Chuck Knoll?
Yeah,
can we remember some of Don Shula?
True, but different eras.
Come on, let's not just be prisoners of the moment here.
Different eras, though. And
but they still coached. That McNabb said all time.
Yeah. I probably – if it depends on what happens with the Chiefs. If they're dominant, he has 4 more double-digit win seasons, as Donovan was alluding to, and wins 2 more championships.
Yep.
He's up there. He's definitely up there.
I mean, you got to – okay, so with the – with the notion of another or multiple more.
No, to me, it's got to be multiple more championships.
Okay, that changes everything then. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
I'm not talking about right now.
I got you.
No,
I got you.
He's in the top five or six right now.
Just Landry, comparison.
Landry had how many Super Bowls? Two.
He was there 29 years. Two Super Bowl championships. Yeah, 29 years. I was looking at the double digit wins. Yeah, two wins. And 29 years as the head coach. 29 years as a head coach. That's crazy.
There's no way that happens anymore.
Nah.
No way.
He had a run. Although Belichick's pretty close, dude.
Yeah.
Belichick's pretty close.
That's a great point.
So from 66 until.
This is Landry now.
Landry. 66 to 83. Landry had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 double-digit win seasons. Comparable. Yeah. I mean, we're splitting hairs here. All-time greats. Reed's not there yet. But to the point of McNabb, you know, and to your point maybe more directly, you win one or two more, you are.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the update from Max, see what he's got cooking. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. We'll give you predictions on the games, including what we think will happen with the point spread. Act, and we'll wrap it up with some good football stuff and the blast after Rich right now. All right, still a lot to squeeze in. Got to give you predictions. Who's going to be going to Super Bowl 55? We'll hit you with that. We'll do the blast as well. But first, we answer our Ask the Pros question of the day today, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, today's question, pretty easy, but pretty applicable to the timing. Short and sweet here, guys. Randall in Kansas City wants to know. All right. Who's going to play in Super Bowl 55? Go ahead, team. What do you got?
I like the home teams. Green Bay Packers, even though I'd love to see the Bucs get there. I like the home teams, the Packers and the Chiefs.
I agree with you. I'll even give you a score in a second, but I do agree with you there, Teague. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Teague and Tierney here. We'll get to the blast in a moment. I've got Kansas City 34-23 over the Bills. I mean, the Bills.
I don't think they score that much.
Talking about Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have to see the weather, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but again, without that pick six, 101 yards, that's Bills are stuck on 10 points. So,
great point.
You know, not that the Ravens' defense is worse than Kansas City. It's superior to Kansas City's defense.
No doubt
so maybe
about
it's
it.
Not, you know, the exact. But
and,
anyway.
And the weather was horrendous.
Windy.
Yeah, windy. You know, completing passes wasn't easy.
Yep.
It just was a slog of a game, and so many for both teams. Really, the Bills just made the plays, and the Ravens couldn't. I think the Chiefs are going to find ways to make plays, but they're not going to make. I don't see them running away with this game.
Okay. Well, I don't think 34-23 is running away from them.
I mean,
it's kind of, you know, it's a two-score game, and maybe that second score comes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, maybe
you get a little separation. I think it's going to be tight. But I do think I would be very surprised if the Bills win.
Yeah.
I'd be less surprised if Tampa wins, but I'm going to pick Green Bay 31-27. That number, by the way, is 3.5 if you're curious. So I've got Green Bay winning by 4, meaning I think that the Packers will cover the number, and I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs will cover that number as well, which is 3, 3.5, depending upon where you get it. So I've got Kansas City and I've got the Packers. Same as Teak, but we'll give you some scores there. Ready to blast, see what we got here. See what Santer and the cell, see what they cooked up.
Yep,
you ready?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Good. I want to get to my sandwich soon. Let's go.
So many topics, so little time.
Wait.
We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Teak, former Texans and Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak is retiring after 36 years in the NFL. Does Kubiak get his due credit for the successes of many of his offenses?
Probably not. I mean, he went to Denver after John Fox couldn't get it done. Remember that playoff game they lost to the Ravens? And it was just like, what the heck are you doing? It's Peyton Manning, let him throw the ball down the field. Don't settle for overtime. And then Gary Kubiak went in there and won a Super Bowl 2 years later. So I don't think so. But he had a heck of a career, and he should be appreciated for some of the then innovation, which is kind of obviously been passed now. But yeah, he doesn't get enough credit or is talked about enough.
I agree. He is a name that resonates with diehard football fans, but he is not a name that is necessarily top of mind from the fringe fan when pointing to, you know, I mean, he's been in the game almost 40 years, as I said, but, you know, last couple of decades, offensively innovative and conceptually intelligent. I agree. I believe he gets overlooked a little bit here. I'm with you. All right, my Knicks. Second-year guard R.J. Barrett dropped in 28, career high. 10 of 17 shooting. The young guy's becoming a little efficient now. The Knicks win over the Warriors. They beat him up pretty good. Is Barrett's progression where it needs to be as last year's number three pick? It is. Now, he's not John Morant, and he's not Zion. He's different. And, you know, he is finally learning. What I'm most impressed with is that, and this comes from coaching, you know, he's learning what a good shot versus a bad shot is. And when you're shooting 23% from downtown and you're susceptible to these 0 for 18 runs from down, stop shooting threes. And he's stopping. You know, now it's like three or four attempts a game, which is great. Free throw percentage is getting up. He's got a good handle, goes left, goes right, creates. You see him with opportunities with Mitchell Robinson, some runs at the rim. He's a smart kid. I really like R.J. Barrett, and I think he's getting coached up. And again, he's playing without a great pure point guard. Peyton can't shoot, so they sag off of him. He gets a point guard that can shoot. R.J.'s going to explode. I love him.
Yeah, I don't even know what to expect from, you know, number three pick overall. Hell, I don't know what to expect from the number one pick overall because they're all 18-year-olds these days. So, as we all know, it's as much of a crapshoot as there is in any draft in any sport around the world. Is picking in the NBA draft because these kids could turn out to be great or they could turn out to be Markelle Fultz. No fault of his own, just has issues that crap up mental, physical, that derail you. So it's hard to, like, if you're the number one pick, you should be here. Number two pick, you should be here. It's impossible. But, yeah, he looks good as of late, even though, as we mentioned earlier, BT, he's playing a crap load of minutes. But that's Thibodeau's way of saying, all right, young buck, figure it out. You're gonna do it by fire. Not the easy way. We're not going to practice your way into greatness.
He just turned 20 this summer. He's a young kid. His dad played at St. John's and Duke. He comes from that kind of a family. Now, I don't think he'll be the second player on a team. Like, I don't think he'll be – if he's the second best player – that's not, unless he hits a three, and then if that's a reliable shot, then I change what I'm about to say. He's probably more suited to be a third on a really good team with a diverse skill set. And for the third pick, that's plenty. That's fine. All right, the T-Wolves have the second worst record in the NBA, and their guard, one of them, D'Angelo Russell, sticking up for head coach Ryan Saunders, saying, quote, "I feel bad for coach right now. He's not getting a fair shake," end quote. Should Minnesota be better than they are?
Yeah, but there's so many circumstances around that team. Look, Coach Saunders is having a struggle, obviously, and I think it's one of those things that, again, you can make excuses for. Ultimately, he'll be held accountable, but I think there's just too many mitigating issues around this team this year for them to really even try to thrive. So,
yeah.
It just is what it is. It's frustrating. It's hard. It's like difficult to talk about with this team, but I hear you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's pretty stand up on the part of Russell there.
Yeah,
they've been an odd collection of talent for a while. I mean, they've had talented players, and we know Carl Anthony Towns' family situation. Mm-hmm. So certainly takes precedence, supersedes whatever he's doing on the court on a nightly basis. But you know, it's just one of those things where.
I don't even know how he's playing. I bring this up every time.
He's playing okay. Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He's fine.
No, I'm just saying I don't know how he is.
Oh, like, I know. Emotionally?
Like, yeah. I don't know how he's doing it.
I got you. But they just don't seem like this group does not, no matter who's coaching, because Thibs was there with a lot of these guys. They worked too hard. Jimmy Butler didn't have a lot of respect for the young Bucks on this team. Maybe the wrong dudes, period. At this point, you'd have to say that is what it is. All right, Teague, little UFC 257 coming up this week. Connor's back. I'm renting the fight. I'm telling you right, I'm ready for this. And getting ready to fight Dustin Poirier, and they've had a little fun here with, going back and forth. Connor looks really good. I think he's a buck 54. I think he's 154. Poirier's 155. Yeah. He's pound heavier. Yeah. But Connor looks absolutely shredded. Now, if you want to watch the fight, you're going to have to watch it on ESPN+. Though Dana White has a message for you if you think you can get away with streaming it illegally.
Piracy, the online streamers, they want to come after you and give this thing away. So any regret?
No. I'm glad you asked me about that because we got one. We got him. We're watching this guy right now. All you have to do is turn it on Saturday, and we got you. I can't wait. Turn it on Saturday, streamers, and see what happens.
All right. Do we think that Dane is bluffing to scare fans away from streaming the fight illegally?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
Well, it's illegal. It's a federal crime.
I know, but what's he gonna do to him?
Sick the government on him if he's not lying. They got the target on the guy. You can't do it in radio.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Piracy's a real thing, man.
But it happens every single event.
Doesn't mean you can't get caught.
True. But you have many ways to get around it. Proxies and VPNs and all this other good stuff.
Seems like he knows. I think we're going to just stream it at Tiki's crib this weekend.
I know nothing. Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing.
Sergeant Schultz, that's an old one. Do we think he's bluffing? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he sells everything so well.
I know. I think he's bluffing.
I'm leaning that he is. Like, do I actually think that they have one home and, like, the government's been alerted and they're ready to, like, kick the door down as soon as he zaps it on? I think that that's a complete stretch. But, you know, you send a little warning, a little chin music, and maybe it dissuades a few people, and then maybe you make a few more bucks than you would have. I'm paying for the fight. I'm getting the fight. I'm pouring myself a heavy scotch, and I want to see what Conor McGregor has. And I am absolutely getting this fight coming up tomorrow night. I can't wait. I'm watching it. Meanwhile, the most coveted free agent pitcher, Trevor Bauer, is still out there. He's on the market as we get ready for the MLB. We'll get ready for spring training. It's around the corner. And MLB reports the Mets and the team that I told you 2 months ago that should get him, the Angels, are the current front runners. Doesn't mean that they will, but at least they're in the mix here. While the Dodgers and Blue Jays are still tossing a little iron in the fire, what's the most likely destination for Bauer?
The Mets, man. I think it's the Mets. I think if there's one thing that the Mets need, have had and need always is pitching, is arms. So I'm going to say Mets.
I don't think it's going to be the Mets here. I think, first of all, by not giving the extra $25 million total to Springer, what that does is that allows them to extend Francisco Lindor and Michael Conforto, two players I really like. So that's smart for them. Mets, I don't think the Mets will get him. The Blue Jays, you never know. They're one of those wild cards.
They look like they're spinning too right now.
Because they have a lot of young guys who aren't making bank yet, so they could. The Dodgers have a limitless checkbook. Don't rule them out. But I think based on urgency and desperation that the Angels are the team that I know for a fact need him the most. Their pitching stinks. Can you get Mike Trout some support? I think I said the Angels 7 weeks ago, and I'm going to say the Angels today. Angels.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Show today, Teak.
Yeah, man. Josh McCown is a new head coaching candidate for the Houston Texans.
What?
No, what
Come
the hell?
On. What are they doing? I'm not saying he might be really good.
Bro, they're destroying their reputation in front of our eyes.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, listen, Teak, enjoy the football, my man. I'll catch you on Monday.
You too. Have a great weekend, brother.
Thank you, man. Keith, Teak, and I both have.
And Jen, I was messing around with the pizza.
We have the Chiefs and the Packers. Have a great weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.